Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It is episode 228 of the Niler 9 podcast, and it's myself, Niall, and Andrea Cleary here, of course.
Hello, Niall. It's a storm edition.
There's always an extra beat when you say hello. Always an extra beat.
I know. I'll be more confident. Hello, Niall. Storms are coming.
Storms are coming. Storms here. Yeah. Stormzy is here. Storm it's Agnes. Outside. Storm Agnes. Yeah, we're recording on the morning of the 27th of September. But yes, it is the best of the month, our monthly look at music that we love. Basically chatting about albums and songs that we love. Mostly albums this month, I believe. We're going for the album buzz. There was a lot of albums in September. There's loads I actually have enjoyed and haven't got to yet. So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
That is a good sign. There is actually, as I noted on the website this week, there is quite a lot of Irish albums to come this year. Have you noticed that?
I haven't, because I haven't looked at your excellent new feature.
It's
the website.
Basically, I've been keeping a list privately for a while, and I was like, why don't I just put this up on the website, because it makes more sense. Like, we're in the last week of September. We're about to enter, Q4. We're about to enter Q4. And in Q4 of this year, in terms of Irish albums, we've got Jape album, Super Extra Bonus Party album coming out this week. We have the likes of C-Mat, Mary Wallopers, Tandem Felix, Oxen, Kojak, The Scratch, Rachel Lavelle, David Holmes, John Francis Flynn, all coming before the end of the year. That's a lot of albums. So yeah, lots to come in the next few months. But we're going to talk about what happened in September in our ears. In our ears, what happened is a lot of albums. So will we kick it off with my first choice? Let's go with so this is the first album. You will know this voice from the project Salt. Her name is Cleo Soul, an artist who has been releasing solo albums for a while now. And that is the British singer Cleo Soul. This is her third full-length album. It's called Heaven, released on Forever Living Originals, which is also home to Salt. So, yeah, if you like Salt, this is a slightly different vibe, but you'll recognize the voice here. This is Cleo Soul and a song called Airplane.
Here you fly again, no fear, high like an airplane. You never fell before. Well, people never have a say when they're hurting. You gotta know which way the wind is blowing and change direction to find where love is. Know that life will test the favor all the time. Seasons while they change, keep holding on. Teach you and pick you up when you're torn in pieces.
So that's Cleo Soul, song called Airplane from the album Heaven, her third solo album.
That's lovely.
Yeah, really nice. It's very gentle. It's really very nice. Intimate compared to the music of Salt. It's much more personal in terms of lyrics. It's a combination of piano and guitar. And again, it's produced by Inflow, the producer of Salt, who I believe is actually Cleo Soul's partner as well. So 9 tracks on it, very gentle, very quiet. I really enjoyed it. There's quite a lot of different like touches of music here. There's like some kind of neo soul stuff, there's 70s soul, jazzy stuff, also some 60s folk music as well. Like that's what kind of Airplane sounds a bit like to me as well. Kitty Empire in The Guardian says, but while Salt's more rhythmic forward music comes with a distinct political edge, the music of Saul can be heard as the yin aspect to Salt's outgoing yang. Her work is cool, dreamy, down-tempo, inward-facing, and often consolatory. So that is an example of Cleo. So let's play another bit of a song called Go Baby. Song's called Go Baby. Heaven is the album. Very well worth checking out if you like that kind of sound, and I think if you're a fan of Salt and their 11 albums that they've released so far, you'll like that. So yeah, excellent. 14 albums from two different people, from the same people basically, to check out, and that's not including any of the albums that Inflow has done for Little Sims or Michael Kiwanuka or anything like that. Very prolific people there.
Prolific people. Less prolific, but probably going to be my first choice for an album this month is the second album from Olivia Rodrigo, former Disney darling, current, probably like best place to be the next biggest pop star in the world. Like she's already huge, but
yeah,
based on, you know, the two albums that she's released so far, I'm like, oh, she could be Taylor Swift big. Like she could be like... Real big.
Yeah.
So the second album is called Guts. Probably pop album of the year for me. I don't keep extremely up to date with like pop music, but this is like certainly one of the biggest albums of the year. It's the pop album that's most kind of grabbed me this year. I really, really, really like Olivia Rodrigo. I think she's very like reflexive in her sound. She's willing to kind of take, I don't know if there's so much risks, but do something a little bit different with a pop sound. And so I've chosen two songs from the album that are technically album tracks, I think, even though both of them are quite big on TikTok, so they kind of feel like they're singles. But the first one is the opening track from the album called All American Bitch.
I've got sun in my motherfucking pocket, best believe. Yeah, you know me.
So it's All American Bitch. I really, really love that song. I think it's a really nice take on the sort of like, I'm not a Disney girl anymore. I'm not a little girl anymore, without going the kind of the already kind of well-trodden path of sort of sexing yourself up and so on, like Miley Cyrus. And not that I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with taking that track, but this is just a different way of doing it, and kind of leaning into the idea that she's perfect and that she never gets angry and she's pretty when she cries and so on. And I also just think it's a jam. I love the kind of the interplay between like the very soft vibe of the verses and then the kind of like big rock chorus. I think it works really, really well because she has this kind of duality in her voice. She can be very, very sweet. And her kind of very soft-spoken vocals are a joy to listen to. And she's also able to, like, belt things out. So it's nice to see that kind of, like, dynamic vocal work on a really, like, just straightforward, brilliant pop song. And then the other track I wanted to choose was a song that when I played it for Harry, he said it reminded him of, what's that song? Is it like, what am I doing drinking in LA? What's that song called?
Oh, Brown Van 3000, Drinking in LA.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He said it reminds him of that and he loves it. And it's his favorite song on the album because it reminds him of that song. So this song is called Get Him Back! Exclamation point. Trash, cause I miss the way he kisses and the way he made me laugh. Yeah, I pour my little heart out, but as I'm hitting send, I picture all the faces of my disappointed friends. Because everyone knew all of the shit that he do. He said I was the only girl, but that just wasn't the truth. And when I told him how he hurt me, he told me I was tripping. But I am my father's daughter, so maybe I could fix him.
Yeah, it's nice. It's pop music with a personality. It's pop music like doing things that, you know, like obviously mining from the past, but doing it in a way that feels like very current. Has like, I think it has a personality in spades, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I mean, that's only two songs from the album, but there's also, I think, Vampire, which was out before, which is one of the singles before the album was released. I think that song really connected with me when I listened to it within the album, because you see it as kind of the driver's license of the album. Yeah. It's like a ballad, big vocals, quite slow to start. But I think she's really elevated what she's doing with a ballad. Like the final third of that song just decides to absolutely like go and run. And it just feels so like euphoric and just kind of like kind of teen joy and teen anger and teen sorrow. I think she really taps into like a kind of an adolescent sort of female rage that is really, really like intelligently portrayed and playful. And it just, yeah, I don't know, we're having this kind of big moment in culture at the minute with, like, you know, girl dinner and girl maths, God, and yeah, girlhood.
I think it's gone a bit too far, isn't it?
Yeah,
everything is girl,
know.
Everything.
I mean, I think,
like, everything is,
yeah,
like...
Well, I was reading, I can't remember who wrote it or where I saw it or whether or not it was in a TikTok or what, but I saw somebody make a really, really good point about how womanhood has become so politicized with, you know, conversations around, like, trans people and TERFs, you know, being really protective of the idea of a woman. So there's this other sort of, like, there's a bit of a backlash towards it where girlness is being celebrated. And, like, if you look at how people were talking about, like, Jeremy Strong in Succession or Pedro Pascal, they were calling them, like, baby girl. So girlness isn't something that's even, like, you know, defined by what your sex is. It's just a feeling. So I don't know. Once I started thinking about it like that, I was like, I actually quite like the resurgence of, like, an awareness that girlhood is something that is... celebratory, but also, like, deeply, deeply troubling to go through, you know. And I think that Olivia Rodrigo's guts is definitely, like, should be entered into that, like, the canon of the conversation that we're having around girlhood at the minute, because it's just, it just does it so, so well. Like, there's a song on it called Ballad of a Homeschool Girl, which is also just, like, absolutely brilliant. And it's about being embarrassing, and it's about, like, messing things up and not saying the right thing all the time, and just, you know, the idea of, like, committing social suicide every time you go out because you don't know how to act and, like, your body's weird and stuff. So yeah, I just really, really love this album. I love it more than Sour, and I really, really liked Sour, but there's more songs on this that I really like. I don't think there's a bad song on it, and I think the best songs on it are, like, by far some of the best songs of the year. I just love Olivia Rodrigo. I think she's great.
Yeah. Would you go to the gig now, or would you feel too old?
I would, but I don't know if I can go through another Ticketmaster. If anyone wants to send me, that would be lovely, and I'll write a review. But I don't know if I can go through, you know, I don't know if I've said it on air, but that 1975 week when I tried four times to get tickets to see them in London, Manchester, or Glasgow, that was a tough week for me. I think I need to take a break from stressful Ticketmaster situations.
You could also try the guest list route. Just saying.
That's what I'm saying. If someone wants to send me, if someone wants to invite me,
you can just
to go and witness it.
Just go.
I'm more than happy to do whatever you need, you know.
I don't know what the term would be if it was a TikTok meme, but, like, you know, be gig girl. I don't know. Whatever it is.
Gig
go.
Girl. Girl gigs.
Girl gigs. Go.
Girl gigs. Absolutely.
Ask for that guest list.
That's girl gigging, is getting guest list.
Speaking guest of, list. I was on Primetime last week. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's so funny.
Tell me.
Yeah, I just did a little bit to camera about ticketing and gigs, mm-hmm. mostly about the advance kind of mechanisms that are in place now to, like, the waiting rooms and the pre-sales and the registrations. There was nothing too taxing.
They should have interviewed me. Andrea Cleary tried four times to get tickets for the 1975 and didn't. And then it pans to me and I'm crying.
Well, what it did pan to was people who were at the Shania Twain gig that evening, and it was so funny because like everybody they interviewed was from the north. Everyone, it was so funny.
Really,
but one person, I think there was one lad from Dublin, and everyone else was from the north, and they all had like Stetsons on. It was so funny.
I didn't know that Shania Twain gig was happening until I saw it two nights. Yeah, on Louise Bruton's story, and I was like, sorry, I would have absolutely loved to go to see Shania Twain. I love her. She was, I think, like, for a time when I was maybe 8 or 7, like, my favorite singer.
Yeah.
I listened to my mom's Shania Twain albums. Absolutely loved her. Oh, well.
There you go. You missed out. Two nights.
I know.
Shania Twain, who famously has a Newbridge ancestral connection.
There you go.
Who knew? Well, they found out recently. There was a Leinster Leader piece about it. And one of the local councillors was like trying to get a statue of Shania Twain put up. It's worth having a look at. Hey, let me see if I can find it actually. Shania Twain
Do they have a like a mock-up of the statue? Like a
what? No, no, it's just a proposal. I'll read it out to you.
Okay.
The award-winning country singer Shania Twain may well have her roots in Newbridge, according to the Newbridge mayor. Mayor Damien Molyneux announced the revelation at this month's Newbridge Town Council meeting. Shania Twain's granny was from Newbridge, he said. I think her name was Pierce. Councillors failed to comment on the significance of the matter and moved swiftly on after it was agreed it could be looked into.
I'm going to say something now, right? I'm going to say something and it's going to be controversial. It's our fault that Americans think they're Irish when it's their, you know, eight generations back. Someone got on a boat and went to New York. That's our fault. Look at what we do to promote this. We're like, oh, Shania Twain's Irish. She's not Irish, right? But, you know.
Her maternal grandmother is called Eileen Pearson, did indeed emigrate from Newbridge.
Great. But if Shania Twain wasn't a famous person and she was like, I'm Irish, like if she came over and she was like, I'm Irish because my grandmother, people roll their eyes at people when they do that. And we shouldn't. It's our fault. It's our fault that we do that. Well, we either accept that everyone is Irish or we don't claim any celebrities.
It is that's gas when you go over to America, though, and they're like, I'm 3/5 Irish. And I was like, how does that work?
I know. But it must be mad to live in a country where like almost everybody is immigrants. Like I guess it's kind of fair. Like if you don't have your own culture.
That is the culture. Anyway, enough about America.
Sorry.
Let's come back to Ireland. And
yes, please.
A lovely band who released their second album. It's their first album was called Small Talk. This one's called Dream Big. This is Soda Blonde with Boys. That is Soda Blonde, of course. Their second album was released in September. I mean, if you know, I don't think we ever had them on the podcast, have we? We ever had them on the chat?
No, we should.
Yeah, we should indeed. But I've had a nice chat
with
Faye O'Rourke before at a gig we did, a live stream gig we did. Really nice.
I've chatted to her for an interview before. We had a lovely, it was actually the first interview that I did that was in person during the COVID stuff,
right?
Sat on South William Street and had a coffee.
Yeah. Lovely. I think they're a really interesting example of what an Irish band can be. Obviously, four of them were in Little Green Cars previously, and then they reignited as Soda Blonde, and first album was really good. I think Faye O'Rourke's voice is just something I can I think she's one of the best singers in this country. A beautiful singer. And I think they're getting to a point now where obviously, you know, the first album was very much about, you know, navigating your 20s and navigating the world. And it feels a bit more nuanced now in terms of lyrics. There's a lot more nuance in those words now. And I think they're more comfortable in a way that isn't settling for what they do. I think there's some surprises on this album as well in terms of like how they're not a guitar band, they're not a synth pop band, they're a bit of everything. They sometimes remind me of Fleetwood Mac and how she sings and how they operate together. But I just think they're doing their own thing, and I think they're a great band. They're a really good band. One that also as well, I think recently have gone independent as well. So Interesting to note that as well. I think they were previously on Glassnote Records in their previous band. It is hard. Like, it is like, it's hard to navigate these things as a touring and working like full-time band. They have started a member, Soda Blonde Members Club. So if you basically are looking for, it's essentially their version of Patreon. You can support them from $5 a month.
I think it's a really good idea for bands to do that.
Absolutely. And like, they're running it themselves on their own website.
A lot of artists have like newsletters and stuff now as well that you can subscribe to. And like Slaughter Beach Dog, who I kind of forgot to include this month, so I might next month. Just realized I forgot to include him. But he sends out a newsletter with kind of like demos or like ideas that he's working on and stuff. And I think it's a really cool way to be able to support an artist, but also for an artist to kind of maintain a connection with their audience. So yeah, I think that's cool.
I think every band should have a mailing list, something that they can control themselves, because look what happens. Instagram, if you're at the mercy of Elon Musk or whoever it is, or Zuckerberg, like, you, they do not let you put in links easily. Like, I mean, Twitter does, but like, the algorithm changes that and visibility and shows you them. Now X is showing you the most divisive stuff and the most difficult stuff, or maybe the most the loudest stuff in the room. And Instagram, if you're not doing video, if you're not having your face in it, if you're not blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, there's a broadcast channel thing that they've started this week, which has been really interesting. They've allowed in Ireland. So I've started another 9 broadcast channel. Literally just to be able to share. It's like a WhatsApp group on Instagram in the messages that you can just literally put the messages in. I'm using it for sharing breaking kind of gig news stuff. But it's just like you're at the mercy of whoever decides to change the algorithm or how the algorithm works. So always get a mailing list. Anyway.
And it's also things like, you know, that algorithm change will change without you knowing it. Like,
you're constantly peddling, like, treading water.
You should do 10-second videos, and the next week it's like, oh no, 3-minute videos with your face in it are working well, or videos with text don't go
graphics
well anymore,
bad,
and,
you know, all this kind of stuff. It's like you're constantly navigating
this
thing.
It's so hard.
You end up,
it's really hard to navigate things.
I've been trying to think about this recently. Like, I spent a lot of time making content for Instagram, and you're like, well, I actually want people to visit the website because that's where it all is. So I'm trying to prioritize these days, as opposed to doing less Instagram content. But it is hard because like, you have to get people in, and it's like trying to build up through Google and all that kind of stuff, you know. So anyway, that's not to the point of how good Soda Blonde are, but it does speak to, you know, we have a Patreon, as we mention every week, patreon.com/909. Communities of people are really important. Communities of people around bands and around platforms like ourselves make it what it is, because if they don't exist, then you feel like you're shouting into a void. So it is I wish Soda Blonde best of luck with the album and their members club and all their upcoming activity. Let's hear a bit of a song called Bad Machine from the album. Andrea, do you like karaoke?
Yes.
That was very, very gently spoken.
I do like karaoke. My karaoke song is Copacabana.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a great song. I don't know if I said this in the podcast or not, but I did Copacabana at a hen party during the summer. And it had a 24-bar instrumental break in the middle that I just didn't know about. And because, you know, the way it comes up, like instrumental,
is that
24
like
bars.
The bit?
No. I think it might have been like 48 bars. It was something mad. And a limbo competition started and ended
yeah.
in just the instrumental break of that song at this hen party. So that's my karaoke song. But Soccer Mommy's karaoke songs come from a wide range of artists. So Soccer Mommy, Sophie Allison, a regular kind of reference on this podcast, especially from my end. I really, really, really like her. She's released this month an EP of 5 covers. Pavements Here, Sheryl Crow's Soak Up the Sun, Dagger by Slow Dive, I'm Only Me When I'm With You by Taylor Swift, and Losing My Religion by R.E.M. And they're all great, and they all kind of sound like they could be her own songs, maybe with the exception of the R.E.M. one, just because it's so ubiquitous. Very atmospheric and stylish and subdued. I've chosen to play Soak Up the Sun because I think I posted this on Blue Sky this morning, but between Boy Genius releasing Not Strong Enough, which is a kind of an answer to Sheryl Crow's song Strong Enough, and now Soccer Mommy releasing Soak Up the Sun, are we in for a Sheryl, I've nearly said Sheryl Cole, are we in for a revival of Sheryl Crow, and for us all to revisit her as the kind of star that she is / was. So yeah, this is Soak Up the Sun, cover of Sheryl Crow by Soccer Mommy. Banger. I'd never really noticed maybe it's just this song, but the similarities between Soccer Mommy and Sorka Richardson.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'd love to hear the two of them on a track together. Like there is a kind of a similarity. And obviously Sorka Richardson did a cover of The Killers album Hot Fuzz which was amazing.
Yeah.
In full, and was amazing. And I nearly cried on the podcast when I didn't get a copy and they were sold out, but then she very kindly sent me one. So thank you, Sorka. But anyway, back to Soccer Mommy. It's just like she has such a, I feel like she flies under the radar a little bit. Like I know she's really well liked, but I think maybe she gets lost in the kind of the, you know, modern female singer-songwriter sort of like Phoebe Bridgers, like, you know,
yeah, she's probably
iceberg.
Second tier of that, is she? Like,
yeah, yeah, she gets kind of lost in there, but
a tiered cake of sad indie rock,
exactly, or one of those, you know, those iceberg things where you have like the top. And then there's like under the water. But like her album Color Theory, which came out in 2020, I really, really loved that album, and I thought it was a very, it was a great. It just had a very, like, she has a very distinct sound. And I think that carries through over into these covers as well. Here's her cover of Here by Pavement, which I really, really love.
And of course, Soccer Mommy was in Dublin last weekend supporting the National.
She was, yeah, which I didn't go to.
No, I didn't.
But I am listening to the National album this week for
what do you make
Arena
of it?
On Friday. So it's like, it's the National.
I liked it, but I'm also like, I hate to be the, yeah, it's kind of like, feels like diminishing returns. It's like, I like this, but also I won't go back to it. Yeah. That's how I feel about it. I'm like, well.
That's kind of generally how I feel about the National. Like, while I'm listening to them, I'm like, yeah, this is really good. I'm really enjoying this. Like, but there's very few situations in which I'm like in the mood to listen to, certainly like their kind of most recent albums. But I also think they've got like some incredible songs. So I don't know. I still need to sort of like figure out where I sit with it. I've only listened to it maybe two or three times. But I do like it. While it's on, I like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, what is it? Karaoke Night?
Karaoke Night, Soccer Mommy.
Karaoke Night by Soccer Mommy. Definitely check it out. The other covers are great as well. And yeah, those are just my two favorites. But there's five tracks there for people to dive into.
Okay, lovely. I thought I'd pick a song that I will say I discovered it last week. I've sent it, of course, but you know, discovered it in my inbox. And it got me quite excited about a new talent from Ireland, from Kilkenny specifically. I didn't really get any feedback about it, so I want to include it here because I think maybe, I know people read it, but I don't know what they think of it. I think it's a superb debut for a teenage artist. This is a song from Anika Kilkenny called Look Mom, I Made It. I think it kind of fits into Olivia Rodrigo's world a little bit. Let's have a listen to Look Mom, I Made It.
Excited.
You don't understand depth of the strength found within my mental, or the violence it took to become this gentle. It's clear to me now that it wasn't just all in my head. You will never get the time that it took to believe that I'll make it. All the rock bottoms that forced me to cave in. It's clear to me now that I needed myself as a friend. Standing on cliff sides, admire the view. Scream at indifference like it has a clue. Over my shoulder, I whisper to you. Something I'm proud to admit. Look, Mom, I made it. Never count the hours I've spent sad in quiet resentment, or the hollow it took to regain my center. And it's clear to me now that I'm stained with the tears I have bled. I'm shaking hands with the shaking mind too, cutting all ties with the people I knew. Pity my mirror won't let me reach through it. All of this cold makes me sick, but despite never quit.
Hey, that's Anika Kilkenny. Song is Look Mom, I Made It. I just thought it was a really sweet song. Very well written.
Absolutely lovely, gorgeous.
Orchestral stuff going on. And yeah, I just think it needs a bit more of a push for people to hear it, because I think it's really, really
absolutely
lovely. And some lovely lyrics on it as well. So Anika Kilkenny is actually from Kilkenny. this
makes
is her
sense.
Debut single. It's released on Tin Pot Records, who I think are UK-based kind of indie. Who else is on Tin Pot? Oh, Sammy Copley as well. So you might know Sammy Copley, Irish artist, singer-songwriter as well. I just think this is really lovely and needs a bit more time for people to hear it. And like that lovely orchestral stuff really, really, really stands out to me. A superb debut song. That's it. So I'll be keeping an eye on what's going on here. Anika Kilkenny has been sharing songs with TikTok in the last year, like doing what most people do when they start out now, is like doing covers and on YouTube and TikTok, and has been developing a following there. This is her debut song, like solo written song. Learned the piano from her aunt and soon began writing songs, going on to win first place at a regional talent competition. You.
Yay. Congratulations.
There's definitely a bit of an American kind of vocal voice happening here. Stated influences include American artist Lizzie McAlpine and Emily Bear. She says, I wrote Look Mom, I Made It as a way of leaving what's past behind me while also being content with that. It's a tribute to the moments that are more difficult than others and a farewell to the tunnel vision.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Experience during these times. It was really important to me to include my mom in the artwork because she is my rock and always has been since I was little. Love you too, Dad. This song is for her and every mom that loves largely. Look, Mom, I Made It is a deep breath after chaos and I hope it acts the same for the listener. So yeah, Annika Kilkenny wrote a post about this song during the month of September. So do have a look. And yeah, I just think it was worth including here. A nice new song that I hadn't seen really featured anywhere else. So
That sounds absolutely gorgeous. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on what she's doing. Would definitely not be out of place on that Olivia Rodrigo record, that song.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. Okay, so my next choice is The Land is Inhospitable and So Are We by Mitski, which I was really, really looking forward to this album, and it didn't disappoint. It actually exceeded my expectations for what she was going to do next after Laurel Hell. It's produced by Drew Erickson, who also produced Father John Misty's Chloe in the Next 20th Century and White Blood's most recent album, the name of which I can't remember. So a very kind of cinematic, kind of like old Hollywood sort of sound that Mitski kind of takes on board, but not kind of fully to the extent that Father John Misty did. And yeah, I don't know if it's like if I'd categorize it as like a return to form, but it's kind of just more of a yet another new direction for Mitski. Like, it's quite mature. Those who didn't like Laurel Hell will probably breathe a sigh of relief with this album. She's definitely returned to the kind of the more melancholic melodies. Songwriting is a bit more straightforward, but the sound of it kind of still evokes that kind of like loneliness that was definitely present in certainly her earlier albums. Less pop than what's her big album, the woman Nobody on
Be the Cowboy.
Less pop than that, but kind of maybe a bit more glamour. So yeah, I really, really like it. I've chosen two tracks from it. The first being My Love, Mine, All Mine.
The whole of light through the big top tent up high, here before and after me, shining down on me. Moon, tell me if I could.
Yeah, that was a song that stood out to me as well when I release day.
It sounds like a standard, you know, like it sounds It sounds like it's from another century. Like it's a really, really beautiful song. I think her vocals are beautiful on it as well. And I love the production. I love how it sounds like you're in the room with the band and with her. The other song I chose from it is I Don't Like My Mind.
I love the intensity of this album in terms of those vocals that are joining the choir, which I didn't quite get. There's like two choirs recorded in different places, but like add up to did they include them together? Is that what happens?
I'm not quite sure. Clear. It was like, I haven't actually looked into that.
One
I
was
don't
recorded
know.
In like Nashville or something, and then the other was recorded in LA. And I was like, there's a 12 piece in Nashville and there's 5 piece, one or the other. I can't remember which one it is. I must just check here. But
might just doubled up in the tracks.
Yeah, I was wondering, is it like, are they all together? Because it does say like 17 piece choir or something at some point. I was like, oh, okay, grand.
Yeah.
I meant to check that, or like to see if I could actually figure out who's done what exactly.
What was going on there? Yeah, they might have just doubled up on the track or something. But yeah, look, if you're someone who kind of dropped off with Laurel Hell, I'd definitely say like give this a listen. If you're someone who stuck with Laurel Hell, you'll still really love this. It's a mature Mitski, but you know, she's still so great with those like those images. Like in that song there, she's talking about like I ate a whole cake. And you know, just those sort of like images of like desperation and loneliness that she's so good at conjuring in all of her music. I think it's really, really, it's a really strong album from Mitski. Yeah.
Great. Very good. I would agree with that. Very good. All right. Time for some hip hop now. There has been quite a lot of, The Alchemist, the producer, is being quite prolific at the moment. You may know about the Earl Sweatshirt collaborative album he's made that was released on a blockchain platform called Wadir. But I'm not going to talk about that because it's not actually officially out yet. That is officially out, I think, on streaming on October 6th. So maybe we'll revisit that. But for now, I want to talk about another album The Alchemist is involved in with Wiki, one of my favorite New York rappers, and a rapper called Mike. The album is called Faith is a Rock. And here is a bit of a song called Scribble Jam.
Get me something ballin' to eat. It was all so sweet. That's what I see when I toss in my sleep. A morning greet. Me with a horrible feet. Get up off of my feet. Pardon me. Try and show another part of me. Not just my awful defeat. Even if I'm who's always hard on me. Causing my grief to fall from my peak. Lost by the sea. Poor walking. Young Jimmy Dormity. So why mommy keep calling me? A little Sean Connery. Can't keep a little arms off of me. Can't figure what she saw in me when the flaws is all I see.
Breathing faster, I'm living slowly. I keep looking back, scribbling gold. I can see the tats just cause I've been so lonely. I need to practice for speech remote. Breathing faster, I'm living slowly.
So yeah, the album's called Fate is a Rock, just quietly released last Friday. As I said, it's actually more about like, as you can hear there, the samples aren't really, it's not really about beats a lot of the time on this album. It's about like mood and vibe. Like some of those tracks are just completely don't have any beats and it works really well. It kind of puts it in this like weird beatless kind of universe that kind of allows the rappers to kind of do what they want. And as I said, Wiki is one of my favorite New York rappers. Always really good. I love his like weird nasal tone. He's quite prolific as well. He played here recently in the summer. They previously did a 3-song EP last year, I think, and but this is kind of the full length version. Really like it. I like the way just the samples work, and yeah, it's the Earl Sweatshirt and the Alchemist are touring the Voix Dire album in the US, but I went with this one. I think don't sleep on it. I think it's more pensive and dreamlike. Here's the opening track called Stargate.
Thing I like to do besides rolling up and writing too, I'm rightfully rude. You try and be the boldest one. If you hold your tongue, you'll get cycled through. Left out to dry, your pride will prune. You're well aware, y'all are well aware of where I spent my formative years, sipping 40s at the 40th pier, getting the groggy, my body impaired. I swear everything was foggy for years. Poured the backwash out the glass, saw it all clear.
I'm in my thoughts, you could apply for them centuries full of long faith. I need a charm, I need a strong break. I'm still involved with niggas who with me long way. You niggas soft, niggas know what I'm
Yeah, Stargate way. From Fate is a Rock from Mike, Wiki and The Alchemist. A really good rap album I enjoyed this month.
Excellent. I think, are we on to my last one?
Well, you got two. You got an old one and your last one.
Oh yeah, I've got my golden oldie. But before that, I do have a cat on my lap at the minute. Let me just
take all the time you need to settle the cat.
Thank you very much, Aria. Yeah, a song by an English singer songwriter, Holly Humberstone, who I only heard this song yesterday. She has 4 songs out ahead of her debut album, which will be out in October. But she's an English singer-songwriter. She won the Rising Star Brit Award in 2022. She played the BBC Introducing Stage at Glastonbury. I think there's something of kind of Caroline Polachek or a little bit of Niloufar Yanya on this track. And it's also just a great pop song. So yeah, this is called Into Your Room by Holly Humberstone.
So don't drive away. Don't you leave it like that, no. You don't know how much I need. Yeah, I feel the way
and you leave me so
crushing me. I hate to think how bad I treated you.
That's Holly Humberstone, Into Your Room. Just a song that I really like. I haven't listened to the 3 other songs that are from the upcoming record, but I just think that's a really strong song. It's very sweet. I like the lyrics in it. They're kind of playful. Yeah, like I said, I can hear a little bit of Caroline Polachek there. I'll be keeping an eye on her album next month for sure.
Yeah, so she had an album last year called Can You Afford to Lose Me? And
there you go.
Does she have some like 1975 origin story kind of thing? Was she on Dirty Hit or something like that early on? I haven't always had that impression, but maybe I'm completely wrong with
that. Let me see. Holly Humberstone, the 1975.
I always thought there was some connection there.
Oh, this what song is a collaboration with Matty? Oh my god.
Maybe that's it.
For you to hear this. Sleep Tight. Which
he's on a track,
was set to arrive on April 29th. I will be listening to that and I will report back next week.
Have some bad news for you, Andrea. Some bad breaking news for you. The 1975 are going on indefinite hiatus from shows after the current tour ends. But you know what? That probably means about 2 weeks in their world.
No. I knew there'd be a really long break after those shows.
Yeah, they're really hammering those shows, aren't they?
Big time. Like, and they should take a break, but
they need to
and I think there's talk of a Matty solo project and also a George solo project. So
they're never gonna go away either way.
No. Look, if anyone if anyone has word on a ticket to any of the UK shows, I don't care which one it is, please get in touch. Please tell me. Because I really want to go.
Yeah.
That's it. Just get in touch with me.
Why not?
And also, yeah, I think a break would be good. A break from the news cycle. It would be good. You know, go and have a sleep, Matty.
Indeed.
For God's sake.
I have picked an album and a song for, so it's an album really. It's an album from a Leitrim based artist called Natalia Bayliss, who is a composer, sonic artist, musician. The album is called Mermaids. It was released on September 1st. It's inspired by a keyboard, a CRB Electronica Ancona keyboard salvaged from a Leitrim recycling center, and also an old family photo of her mother and two friends, which is also the cover of the record. I'm going to play a song called Afloat in Fog and Feathers. It's the opening track from the album. Very much, actually, I was in Leitrim this month and I did listen to this album on one fine evening in outside when the weather was still nice, and it was really, really lovely. So here's Afloat in Fog and Feathers. As you can imagine, it's fairly ambient and meandering in a lovely way. So that's Natalia Bayliss. The album is called Mermaids. That's Afloat in Fog and Feathers. I think you can go and listen to an interview with Natalia with The Point of Everything from a recent episode as well. I think Owen has chatted to her recently about some of her work. And yeah, that album is available on Bandcamp. Very much recommend it. And as I would say, The Point of Everything doing great work in terms of interviewing Irish artists, something that we've kind of dropped off a bit with lately, but that's okay.
Owen's there doing the good work.
Yeah. Otramond, a great album from them released this month that I didn't get a chance to recommend. A Litany of Failures, Volume 4, that was something I was listening to this week. Really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. My Sophia, Bridget Maypower, Ezra Williams, loads of people that he's been talking to, Kreia, Guida Barra, Anna Zanker, and Natalia Bayliss, including. So loads of people that The Point of Everything is talked about. So shout out to Owen for keeping his podcast lit and going. Well, fair play. Okay, that's it for me in terms of new music. But I believe we're in our golden oldies section. I'll have to make a golden oldies jingle at some point.
Jingle. Yeah, we should. My golden oldie I've chosen is Radiation Vibe by Fountains of Wayne, their debut single. I don't know, I was just listening to them recently, and the song, I was listening to this album, and it's just a really great song, and I just kind of like pressed like replay on it like four times. It's just a great song.
Great. Well, let's press play on it once. So this is giving Dave Fanning in the 90s radio show vibes to me.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where I've heard it before. And I think the video as well, right? Isn't there a tapping foot at the start of the video?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I haven't watched the video in a long time, but that rings a bell. Yeah, it's just a great song from a great band, you know, like since Adam Schleisinger died during the pandemic. I've just found myself going back and listening to Fountains of Wayne a lot, and just sort of like renewing my love for that band. Like, I really, really do love that band, and I loved him as a songwriter. And yeah, it's just a great song. I don't know if it was like a huge hit or not, but like it could come out now and be a hit. You know, it's just, yeah, it's kind of timeless.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Old school.
What's nice. Your golden oldie?
Well, my golden oldie is actually related to a podcast we did recently on the KLF. Mm. It's not the KLF, but because I have been listening to their albums and, well, specifically Chill Out and some of their big singles. They had some awful stuff as well, in fairness. But
I've listened to the Chill Out album once or twice as well while working. Nice. And it's real good.
Yeah,
really
it's good. Cool. Well, so as a result of doing the podcast, Stevie G from Cork, noted DJ, sent me a copy of the KLF's book, or the book, John Higgs' book, The KLF, Chaos, yeah. Magic and the Band Who Burned £1 Million. He said he picked it up for free outside a library, and he was sending it on. And I can recommend the book.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, I can recommend the book. I'm halfway through it at the moment. I'm really enjoying it. It's kind of what we didn't really cover in the podcast is kind of the, what would you call it? Some of the more fantastical elements around the KLF about Discordian tropes and the kind of ideologies around maybe some of the things that they were doing in terms of nihilism and Discordianism and stuff like that. And there's a really interesting story in this book that is, while it covers the events that actually happened, it also talks about the randomness of it all and the ideologies that could possibly be part of it or maybe aren't, but it makes for a really interesting book. And at one point in the book, he talks about What Time Is Love, the KLF song, and talks about a song that I love that I only heard about a year and a half ago originally by Anne Clark. It's called Our Darkness, and apparently it was a direct influence for the main riff in What Time Is Love. So Our Darkness, Anne Clark was kind of mid-80s, in 1984 was this track was released. It's kind of a punky techno new wave kind of track. And interestingly, I think what I love about it now is that anyone will hear this now, you'll be like, oh, that sounds a bit like K-Tempest. So it kind of sounds like K-Tempest with some electro kind of buzz. And I really like it. I played this actually at Another Love Story, I believe, last year. My DJ set. So this is Anne Clark. The song is called Our Darkness. That was Anne Clark, Our Darkness, a song from Joined Up Writing from 1984, I believe. Anne Clark is still going, is still an artist making music, has recently made some music in aid of Ukraine as well. So still at it, and that's great to see. Yeah, an artist I want to delve a bit more into, something interesting going on there. And yeah, one for a reminder for myself and for anyone else who's interested to have a listen deeper. So yeah, we have some plans in the future, which in the near and present future, by the time our next episode comes out, we shall have possibly done a real life event with the Big Romance. More about that soon. We're going to be doing a series of listening parties, and the first of which will be happening at the end of October. We'll be announcing that very soon. So listen out. We'll be doing a podcast related to that soon. So once we have all the details properly confirmed, we'll let you know what the story is. But we're basically planning on having little listening parties in the Big Romance every month for the next while. So yeah, we'll let you know what the album and artist we're going to be discussing and listening to on that night will be, and where you can get tickets and all that kind of stuff very soon. In the meantime, what about what's consuming you? Anything else that you've been listening, watching, enjoying recently?
So I finally watched I May Destroy You.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hello. I'd never watched it. I just sort of put it off because of the topic, I guess. And I saw a lot of people saying that it did, in fact, destroy them. But yeah, I sat down on Saturday and just watched the whole thing as though it was a film. And it was excellent. It was like just as great, if not better, than everyone said it was. I thought it was great. I think Michaela Cohen, that's her name, isn't it? She's just like, my God, like, what a talent, what an incredible actor as well as writer, just amazing. So yeah, so watch that. What else have I been watching? I've been listening to The Hunger Games on audiobook, which I've been enjoying. That's kind of like my going to sleep audiobook at the minute, although twice I've had like quite intense dreams about like being in the Hunger Games, so I might need to switch that out, because I was listening to Mort, the Terry Pratchett book, which I finished and loved, and will be kind of reading more in the Discworld series, definitely. But I was like, oh, what else is a kind of fantasy? I tend to reread the Hunger Games every couple of years. I'll do that, but maybe not before bed. And what else? I think that's probably it. Bake Off is back. That's exciting. I'm in a sweepstakes, and the person that I had in my sweepstakes went home in the first week. So that's that.
Okay.
That's that, I suppose.
It worked out well for you then. Yeah, I think there was a lot of other albums I didn't get to discuss that I've enjoyed this month. Autremonde, I mentioned, I really enjoyed that. Lorraine James, Gentle Confrontation. We didn't get to chat about Maya Sophia yet. Daika, another producer's album that I really enjoyed. It was touch and go between that and another album I was going to discuss this week, so I left that off. There's a beautiful, beautiful Rachel Lavelle song. I think is it called Big Dreams as well? Yeah, it is. And so it's like Dream Big and Big Dreams.
And Big Dreams.
So I didn't include it because I didn't want to repeat myself, because I know we're going to be talking about Rachel's album in November, presumably.
For sure.
Because it's a big one. I really enjoyed the Chemical Brothers album, a new one. Surprisingly good.
Didn't even know it happened.
Yeah, the first half of it is like, it kind of reminds me of like a cool, like a live set, like a Daft Punk like live set. It's very much like them doing a live thing, and then it kind of settles a bit. Also, I really enjoyed the Doja Cat singles as well. Some really good stuff there. Too. That's been a lot of fun. And then I'm going to do my regular tracks of the month shortly in the next few days. Other than that, watch a great movie called Theater Camp. If you haven't seen it, really good. It's just out now. I want to go see Stop Making Sense, the 4K thing, but I have to figure out when I can have time to do it. Other than that, most of September was the Fringe Festival. Did a lot of Fringe Festival shows. Malaprop's show Hot House was brilliant. I think it won Best Production in the Fringe Awards a couple of days ago. So really good to see that. Really enjoyed King of All Birds, Martin Knight's show about myths and birds and Ireland and aerial photographs. Really interesting. And then on a music tip, in a way, a dance piece called Mosh, about the art of moshing. Just a really, really great dance show, all about the importance of moshing, how it works and what it is and the culture around it. And then let's see some comedy as well. Two fine Irish comedians, Fiona Frawley, who was in The Fringe, and a really good show. And then Peter McGann, of course, in Vicar Street, an absolutely riotous show.
Together for that.
Yeah.
We didn't even know that we were going to it.
Yeah, it was so funny. We ended up sitting pretty much right beside each other. So funny. Peter McGann's show. If you think that a comedian who has spent time building their profile with characters can't do stand-up, you'd be wrong in the case of Peter McGann. He's a real chaos merchant at the moment. Have you seen the Centre thing he's doing? The Centre chicken set rolls.
I love it so much.
It's like three different videos about the same thing. I'm like, he's gone a bit mad. It's great.
I know, he's bullying Centre. I love it. Yeah, his show was so good. I saw him the week after I saw James Acaster, and like James Acaster was incredible, but I'd really put the two shows up there together. Like in terms of how much I laughed, he was brilliant. He was really, really, really great. And really took a swing at the kind of the modern, like, he did a video about it recently as well. He's like, I couldn't do what you do, you know, I'd be cancelled with the things I say. And you know, he has his character who kind of, you know, portrays that style of comedian. So yeah, it was really, really great. It was a brilliant show.
Taking the piss out of well-known piss poor beer brands.
And like his Irish his book of like how to be a big feckin' Aegis or something that he was reading from was like, oh, so good. He took a lot of very subtle swings at other people, and with the beer company sometimes a bit less subtle, but yeah. It was really, really great. Yeah, and it was one of those gigs as well. It was great because anytime he'd mention like where he's from, a whole group in the crowd over there would yell. Or if he mentioned anything to do with his day job as an advertising copywriter, there was like a group of what sounded like about 40 people who'd obviously come from his job as well. Yeah. So he had a real sense of like, everyone's here to like support him, and you know, that he's a great lad. So,
he is indeed a great lad. Fair play to him.
Yeah,
A great show. I would encourage you to go see Peter McGann. And follow his comedy for sure. Other than that, in terms of TV, I've been vacillating towards really gentle, which is the Detectorists, the BBC TV show.
Yes,
I finished it all last night. I will say though, did I talk about this already? What's going on with him and his wife? Why is she so toxic to him?
The wife?
She's horrible to him.
Do you think so?
Yeah,
I think she's got
fucking horrible to him. She fucking is so like negative about his hobby and negative about how he is, and like negs him the whole time. I'm like, this is not a good relationship. You should not be in this relationship.
Kiss someone else in the first season.
Yeah, and then she disappears completely. That character just
she gets pregnant and has a baby.
No, not the wife. The other woman.
Who? Oh, her.
Yeah, the one that comes in season one and season two. She just disappears then. I don't think
she gets a boyfriend in season two. The Nazi guy. Nazi gold guy.
Yeah, but then she goes. She disappears. Doesn't she?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but that's three.
Yeah, anyway.
There's an episode that's not on Netflix that's a Christmas special.
I did watch that last night.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very good. Yeah. So, Detectives is beautiful.
A good way of ruining their dreams after season three, but I really enjoyed it all the same. Very good. And the other thing I enjoyed a lot, it's very silly, it's very dumb. It's called Hijack. It's Idris Elba's Snakes on a Plane, Passenger 57 thing. It's absolutely brilliant. Lots of twists and turns and funny plot twists. It's very enjoyable. I love a potboiler. It's one of those like, everything is happening. What's happening on this plane? It's been hijacked. But Idris Elba is a corporate negotiator who interferes the entire time with everybody, including the hijackers, and he gets away with it. He's just like chanting them the whole time, and they're like, for some reason they're tolerating him. It's brilliantly funny and stupid
because he's an absolute Chad.
Yeah, it's so
just
funny.
Big old Chad.
He knows everything, and everyone else on the plane knows nothing. It's so funny.
Yeah,
very enjoyable though. It's 7 parts as well. Really enjoyable. I would recommend that. So yeah, that's everything I've been listening, watching, reading this month. I don't think there's anything else there. That's it
for me as well.
Yeah, What's coming up next week? I'm going to be at Ireland Music Week. I'm doing a hosting a talk about TikTok. So if you are around for that.
TikTok.
Yeah. It's a TikTok. welcome to my TikTok. Yeah, so we're going to be doing that and go see some bands.
I'm going to try and catch some talks at Ireland Music Week. I know Key Change are doing a talk. I went to their talk last year. It was very illuminating. I'll probably go to that again this year.
Great. Yeah, so
hopefully catch some music as well.
With that in mind, then, I don't think we'll be able to do a podcast next week because of it. I think we'll have to defer to seeing people in real life for once.
My God, sorry. The storm is like properly arrived. Agnes is here. It is bucketing. Anyway, sorry. Stay safe, everyone. Stay away from trees.
It's pretty miserable out, but that's a good time to listen to music. Oh, Indie Sleaze is happening on Friday. How could I forget? Indie Sleaze is on. Myself and Louise McSharry playing all of the indie sleaze hits, Bloghouse, electro stuff, funny. What was the song? I already forgot it. It's like, oh, I must play some Maximo Park. I was listening to your Indie Landfill Juvenalia episode with Anna Zanker and Alan about Indie Landfill. I was like, Maximo Park had a good song. Definitely at least
play some Hives,
song.
Please.
Oh, well, I mean, are you coming?
I might. I'm going to be in town that night. Likelihood is way higher than what it usually is.
Okay.
I don't have to leave my
couch. Well, I mean, you did come to the last one, so whatever.
I did.
I left a
birthday party for the last one, and this one I could potentially be leaving or bringing with me a going away party. So we'll see.
Great. I'm looking forward to it immensely. It's selling well, and I'm not just saying that. And Workman's Cellar, Indie Sleaze, 29th of September, Friday night, 11:30.
It was a great vibe last time. Highly recommend it.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good crack. I cannot wait. Right. That's it from this podcast this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a special, I believe, and more news on our upcoming events if you are intrigued. Also, I started the broadcast list, as I said, on Instagram for 909. So you can, if you're an Instagram fiend, you can find us there. Obviously, mailing list is a great place for us to find out what's going on with us. And even better, Discord through the Patreon, $5 a month. Come and support us. Come and support yourself. Find a new community. We started a new music league this week. Everyone is sharing a song from the first gig they ever went to. And it makes for a very weird playlist.
What was your song? What did you? I haven't looked at the playlist yet. What was your submission?
Well, I can't tell you if you haven't seen it. I can't bias you.
But don't we see who chose things?
No. You don't know how music league works.
No, and I never will.
You might guess. I may have said it before. Based on age and because some people are clearly had their first gig in 2008, and I'm like, oh, my first gig is way older than that. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, bye everyone.
That's it from the 909 podcast this week. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends and look after yourself and your ears. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.